Hi everyone, hi Harald.
Hi there.
I just introduce you. This is Harald Kautz Vella. And did I pronounce your name correctly? Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to have you on this interview. And already we agree we probably will make few of those. So it will be like a series because you have quite a lot of fascinating material to share. Some of it already was published over the years in YouTube and elsewhere. And personally, I've watched few of your videos, and maybe some of the Israeli audience know you from the Black Goo presentation you gave some years back. When was it, this presentation?
Maybe 3-4 years ago, I can't remember. It's on the best one is on the Basis Conference of Miles Johnson. This is where you can find me.
Yes, it wasn't that long ago. Really, the reason for me to address you and to try and contact you and bring you over for the Israeli audience is really because I sense that you shifted from a place within you, and given all the knowledge you have about what is happening nowadays in the world, but also in previous years, not just now, and what is being planned for the future, for humanity and for nature or natural world, given all this knowledge you have, still it seems to me that you manage somehow to shift your perception from maybe being focused in the head, focus on just information and what to do about it. You shifted to maybe, we'll speak about it later, but maybe to your heart and to realizing that information is just information, and what to do with this information, how to transform it. I'm not sure if I'm even using the right words for this topic, you know, but we see how to take this information, digest it, understand that some of it for sure is true, as we know, and how to transform it into your own personal experience and transform it in such a way that you can transcend your experience of just this, some of it really bad information, if I can just use the term bad for it, and what to do about it. And I think it's something that many people can relate to it and would like to hear your experience about this shift or transformation that you managed to do. But before we dive into this subject and many more, if you can just say a few words about yourself, you know, your credentials, so people know if you're a physicist or chemist, or what is it that you learned, or what is it that you do, and what gives you the credentials to say what you have to say to the world.
Okay, university wise, I studied both geology, physics, math, as the natural science part, but I didn't finish university on that end. I finished it in media science. I dreamt of becoming something like a journalist for natural science, and but it didn't work actually, because I was always felt attracted to truth and to revealing things that are not known yet, and the system was a bit rejecting my truth a bit too much, so I never managed to get into the established world of being an employee at some newspaper. So I just decided to make my own stuff. So I spent from 2000 to 2011 basically in free energy research in all the labs in Europe, just as a networker, getting money into the business, at the end doing my own projects on the development. So then I realized, okay, free energy is not exactly the real McCoy in a world that is based on scarcity. Yeah. Economically, it doesn't work. It can't spread, it can't develop in the state we are now. So I started to work more on agriculture and human health. in yeah, both research and journalism, in a way. And journalism, of course, web-based, not newspaper-based.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, I was asked, it was in Norway when I was working with electrosensitive people in the medical field. I was asked about plant death, chemtrail-related plant death, if I could help out with some lab analysis. And this is where I just had the opportunity to make a decision to bring light into this chemtrailing issue, into geoengineering, to really find out what is this again there. And that was kind of a jump into the rabbit hole. And the years after 2012 were just like a good Hollywood film, you know, going from level to level to level, going from geoengineering to transhumanism, from transhumanism to what's happening on the level of intelligence communities regarding surveillance, mind control, from there going to the black magic agenda, from the black magic agenda going down to the origin of the black magic agenda, which is actually pure biophysics on a collective planetary level. You need to understand how consciousness fields work, how manipulation of consciousness fields, both individually and collectively. Work. So it was a piece of science you can learn nowhere, but you can grab all the fields of science that contribute to the knowledge, like biophoton research, like quantum physics, like optogenetics, transhumanism research, of course, you have to look into, because this is where all this knowledge is so applied and practiced. And yeah, this is where I come from. But the thing you related at the beginning, my personal access to working there is rather spiritual, because what I experienced throughout my life is that the world is always a mirror of the self. And if there's something in the world you don't like, you can be sure that the same thing is not in the right position within yourself as well. So if you want to change things, you don't fall into this projection of trying to change the world. You just look at yourself, see where is the reflection within my own being. And then you work on your own healing. And then miraculously, the things that you put right within yourself start to find solutions in the external world as well. This is kind of the miracle of this creation, and it's a 100% reliable mechanism. So now for the last years, it's more shifting from scientific work to spiritual world, because I want to share this experience, how you can change the world by changing yourself. And this is the special quality you can feel when I share things, when I give a solution even to a medical problem. It sounds different because I had this medical problem. I found a cure for myself. I cured myself. And I can talk from the standpoint of having solutions.
It's not just
and
that.
And this makes a huge difference.
I don't think it's just your personal solution you found. It's also the scope of knowledge-based point of view that you bring, because unlike doctor or therapist that only look at the problem or on the human body as a whole, if it's holistic, you know, still you come from a different perspective, which is more historical, it's spiritual, it's involving some of the, well, at least acknowledging some of the black magic that is being used against us, that is actually disturbing our growth and may harm us, which sometimes it does, unfortunately. So I think coming from this perspective, you can give a different advice or helping hand to someone, which unlike others, like no other can maybe do so. But I wanted to, given your answer, I wanted like a quick question, because I prepare so many questions and still I find that I now improvise. This is like totally new question. If I go with what you said, does it mean that those who say, oh, leave this bad news, just be in love and produce love and light within yourself and be happy, and then all the bad stuff will disappear? Is it true to say so? I mean, is the hippie movement or the New Age movement, are they right by saying, don't ignore the bad stuff, focus on the good stuff, and we're good?
Yes, yes, yes and no. there are two things I also do not do. This is fear-mongering.
Yeah.
Like pulling attraction. It's energy vampirism. If you talk about dark stuff because you know that it attracts attention into your direction to talk about dark stuff, then you don't change anything. You just lower the vibration of the other one because you suck his energy. It's a simple mechanism. I don't do that anymore. I used to do it for a while, as long as I didn't have connection to source. It was just happening automatically, and I didn't understand what I was doing. On that point, love and light is beautiful.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if you ignore your own darkness, you can't grow.
Hmm.
So for me, the mechanism is observe the world, see what touches you. If there's darkness or evil or pain or suffering that does not touch you, leave it where it is. It's not your business. If you make it to your business, although it has nothing to do with you, you just multiply suffering because you multiply it into yourself. If you see something like, I completely felt fascinated by any type of story about child soldiers in Africa.
Right.
Yeah. Full compassion, full excitement whenever I saw something of that sort, although it was not within my topics. It emotionally extremely touches me. So what I can learn by this is that there was something in my childhood that challenged me over the limits. And that I still have some trauma within me that comes from this challenge that was breaking my limits as a child, because this is what these children experience.
Yes.
So what I need to do is dive into my own childhood, find that point of traumatization, solve the trauma, and then I will be in peace with child soldier stories I meet on the way. And if I ever would meet a child soldier from Africa, I could share my experience of healing with him and just inspire him to get rid of his trauma.
To heal, yes.
Because I've got the blueprint of the solution within me. This is how I address reality. And then it's not love and light, because we are not living on a beautiful place. We live in a world that is based on torture energy and energy vampirism, and it's everything else than beautiful. But still, if you don't participate but live your solution, then it's mainly the problem of other people that are still hanging there, and you can shine in love and light, of course, again, although you address the topic.
Right.
So it's a bit more complicated than turn to darkness or not turn to darkness.
Sure.
The question is how do you address those topics?
Yeah. Well, life is not simple, and I didn't expect a simple answer, you know. But still, it's a good subject to touch because over the years, I mean, I also found myself, and my audience know that, and it's good maybe that I admit it, it's a good opportunity, but I also found myself over the years sometimes mongering fear. I mean, being used, not being used, but reacting without thinking to the type of information that I get or I learn or I consume and put it out without thinking. Although nowadays, or not just now, but over the last years, even if I still do that, I try and offer solutions. I try and offer alternatives,
yep.
Thinking alternatives, but also doing activity alternatives, you know? Mm-hmm. So not just thinking about it and getting pissed off or being upset or afraid, but also realizing what I need to do. A, for example, stop listening and watching mainstream media. because they their job is to create fear and to tickle our lower chakras, you know? And if we keep consuming this stuff, we can't go out from this vicious circle. This is just one example, and there are more. But still, you mentioned the how the world works. You mentioned torture, you mentioned stuff which, you know, words which nobody really likes to hear. Still, if you can without using these words, if you can, it's funny that I can laugh about it, so do you. Without using the harsh words, can you share with us? It can be as broad as you can, as you see forth, and as deep as you feel like it, but put some limitations there, at least for this chapter one. Can you share with us your point of view about the world, the hierarchy of control, about the human race, nature in general, the planet, if you'd like, you know, anything? You can go historically backwards, you can even project to the future, but if you can just start from here and now. We are now 2019, end of April. What the fuck is going on?
Okay, I will try to dive just smoothly under the surface. We are awakening. Humanity is awakening from a period of severe manipulation. And we know this manipulation actually as duality. You know, you have good and evil. This is something everybody has as the basics in his religion. And if you want to understand what good and what evil is, it's getting a bit difficult because the most used trick of evil is to put everything upside down. So there's a lot of confusion around about what is good and evil. But we are coming into a period of waking up to this truth. It's called, in mythology, it's called apocalypse.
Right.
You know, it's the revelation of actually what is what. So things have changed in the last 2 years. The core thing that has changed is that the source of the evil part of duality has been removed from this planet.
How?
It's too much to go. What we did have, in a way, it was like a lab situation. Planet Earth was under quarantine for 25,500 years. It has to do actually with the expulsion from paradise as a religious mythology.
Mm-hmm.
We basically all relate to. So when this event happened, that we were expelled from paradise, which means on a scientific level, there was an introduction of traumatizing energies or traumatizing information into the Earth biosphere that was so painful that humans decided it's better not to feel, so they disconnected from the collective. This is what happened 25,500 years ago. It has to do with mythology-wise opening of the box of the Pandora, which has to do with arcs, like the biblical ark. The Hebrew, it's not the only one, there are many of them around, like the Ark of Gabriel that now is in Antarctica with the Russians, there's an Irish ark. So there are many of those devices, and it's an alien influence from back then. Also the foundation of the Atlantean culture can be found in that area, if you are familiar with those old histories that are outside of the official history.
This is just technology, right? I mean, you're talking about technology.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
extremely, if you understand biophotonics and quantum physics,
mm-hmm,
and all these things, it's simple technology. Also, if you go into quantum computing with crystalline memories, memory devices. It's all there, actually. It's not that this is religious. It's all scientific.
I mean, sorry, Harald, just to say to the audience, for those who don't know, all our technology, all our gadgets, since the invention of the watch, you know, the hand watch and the other watches and the transistor, all have quartz crystal inside them. And without the quartz or without the crystal, which is very accurate and has a lot of properties, the technology will not work as accurately as it does. And this is till today. I mean, it's from, I don't know, 150 years ago, at least, yes, till today. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah. So to close the circle, we had this expulsion from paradise that disconnected us from the collective consciousness, cut us off from things like compassion.
Like what?
Because when you're trauma, compassion.
Compassion.
Empathy.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah. Brought us under the influence, you know, once you don't feel anymore how to swim in the swarm of the collective, you start to have this free will issue, which can be manipulated. And then you have the external influence that was actually manipulating humanity into doing things that started with the blood and fire sacrifice that was demanded by an external entity. So it was about basically torturing the biosphere to extract pain and suffering that was feeding another entity, which from mythology is actually known as Satan.
Right. So can you jump back to today?
Yeah, I'm jumping back. Yeah,
all right.
Okay. So this is where we left the path, and today we basically return into our original track, because we were left alone in the universe with this problem, hoping that humanity would find a solution, kind of the antidote, the cure for this satanic principle. And this happened about 2 years ago. Somebody on this planet looks like has found an antidote against this principle, applied it successfully. Mythology-wise, you would say he defeated Satan or something mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just an experience that could be uploaded into the collective consciousness of not only humanity, but of the entire creation. So this quarantine, the lab structure, could be closed, no, reopened, because the solution was found. We did it. And so you had two years ago, you had a divine intervention that this entity that brought in duality was just taken out of this planetary sphere. It was removed.
Can you pinpoint an event that we can relate to in which this entity left?
No. It's just something that is tangible when you do have the ability to tune into the spiritual sphere.
Right.
Three years ago, when I said Satan, I had a straight input of his signature, and he pinpointed his eye on me because I connected to him. This is how he worked. Yeah. If you gave him attention as a servant, he gave you a position as a black magician to serve him. And if you gave him attention as actually somebody who wanted to remove him, you were directly addressed as an enemy, and he tried to crawl into your brain on the telepathic plane. So the entity was present, and at a certain point it was not present anymore. Afterwards, you just had basically his servants, the high-ranking black magicians that still could be addressed in that way, or not be addressed, but who were present in that way. And even the hierarchies are now bit by bit from the top downwards removed. Like the thing we all know as the all-seeing eye. It was removed last year. So the hierarchy of duality is slowly removed, and now we're in the funny position that we're still following all the habits we had from the age of duality, because most of the people don't even know that the basics have changed.
So this is just we're just following the signature of the energy, not even though it's not present anymore, it's a habit.
This depends actually on the biophysical structure of mental fields. Most right. humans are mental based, so they have a mental dominance, and the mental field is a tool for predictive programming. It's like it's overlaying echoes of experience to be able to predict the future. This is how the mind works. It's the principle of mind, mental fields, is overlaying experience to predict future.
Hang on a second. Harald, hang on. I disconnect and I call you again.
My Skype was giving me problems.
Yeah, there's some of your connection is not perfect.
My program had a hack. It produced a fake window that was not accessible. That was my computer now.
I want if we can talk about some things that most people can relate to. If I just throw a few names into the air, and then you will link them to what we were talking till now, all right? So I'll just throw a couple of, more than a couple of words, but I'll just throw a few words. Vaccines, chemtrails, 5G, it can be even 4, 3, and 2G, right? Mm-hmm. But still, I say 5G, this is the coming. Fluoridation. Pesticides and herbicides, any other poison that may be in our food and water, heavy metals, synthetic biology, transhumanism. I mean, there's more, but I think it's enough for now. If you can just draw the line between these subjects, just so people can see the connection. All right?
Okay. Okay, what I did is I spent a couple of years to back engineer synthetic biology that can be seen if you look into lifestyle disease.
Right.
If you look into Alzheimer's, if you look into Parkinson, especially mad cow disease was the first one to discover. If you look into Morgellons, that is only partly recognized even as a disease, although you've got like 500,000 of heavy victims worldwide. If you look into a certain quality of disease we are suffering from, and you really go to the basic level of biochemistry, you see like a hundreds of components self-assembling to something that is creating an interface to connect human consciousness to all sorts of many microwave signals as a bidirectional interface. Now, this is hard to digest because if you think logically, with the limited scope we have, you would say it can't be that all these different substances that come from hundreds of different sources are intentionally put together to create a working technology. You know, how does Monsanto, the medical industry with vaccinations, Monsanto with glyphosate, military applications that spray smart dust or particulate plasmas as rocket shield. How do they work together to create a working technology that actually then can be addressed by the intelligence community to introduce microwave signals for mind control and surveillance? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense if you try to combine basically the front end applications that humans use for different purposes. Then you have 100 different stories that don't go together. So the only solution you can basically find to explain what is obvious when you look at reality is that there must be some sort of back-end application that none of the humans understand, but all different groups are tricked into doing. For example, Monsanto is tricked into selling chemicals to the farmers to get more harvest, which doesn't work anymore, but that's another topic. To make money, they are just about money. The intelligence community is tricked into spraying certain substances because they are into control mania. They want to read everybody's minds and manipulate everybody's minds. So they are manipulated into contributing their part. They get their profit from what they do. And they don't give a damn about other possibilities that can be used by other entities then. So everybody has his personal profit, his personal agenda, where he thinks that he's doing it for out of his own interest. Yeah. But in the combination, you get something that is beyond the human scope. And this is kind of this diving into the rabbit hole when you try to understand the different levels of things and you start to come into the position to understand how it all works together when you follow down the route of the black magic, again, the black magic tradition, to the source of it, where you come to actually the source of duality, the core of evil, that does has an agenda. And this is, scientifically spoken, a secondary planetary spirit that is like a dibuk, in Hebrew, dibuk, attaching to planet Earth, delivering a secondary planetary consciousness field, which also is known today as the matrix, tricking humans into leaving the planetary sphere and actually contributing themselves to his sphere because he is not connected to any energy source anymore.
So it's like it's a parasite.
It's 100% equal to what happens with the humans. If a human dies and he doesn't find his path to reincarnation, but he sticks to his family, to his flat, whatever, he's falling down on energy level because he's not connected to anything that is feeding him. Biology can't feed him, and he's not on the spiritual path, so source can't feed him. So he's depending automatically on energy vampirism. And apparently it's the same with planets or collective consciousness systems of planets. When a planet destroys or self-destroys through its inhabitants, then you create something in mythology. It's called the demiurge, the non-incarnated planetary spirit, that has the ability to transfer himself to another sphere and try to take it over. And this is done by the things I did research. It's done by the combination of black goo, which is basically the brain liquid of a planet, and by crystalline memory, which we know as the arx. And from there, it can spread. This is the big picture. I think it's possible to kind of grab it.
All right. I mean, we're still in the same subject. I just want to add something. I had two things come to mind when you just spoke. One thing is a quote from J. Edgar Hoover, the head, former head of the FBI, and he said, I don't remember exactly, but a human, a person who is encountering the conspiracy it's so huge that he immediately he shuts down and he cannot believe it. This is one thing. When you know, going into the deep rabbit hole, it's like it's just too much sometimes to comprehend and to accept. So most people just shut down and they prefer not to know. This is one thing. They just pop into my head in relation to what you said. The other thing is that in the movie The Matrix, what's his name? Agent Smith. He is like the he is the parasite in a way, and he tells he tells Neo, which is us, let's say the human, right? He tells Neo that he is the parasite. So again, it's like flipping reality, right? Flipping reality, trying to convince, and in a minute, in a moment, I will connect it to what you said. Trying to convince the truth that it's a lie. Trying to convince the real and the natural that it's unreal and unnatural. And you know that part of the agenda, coming out of the Club of Rome, and now is being implemented through Agenda 21 in many, many places around the world, is actually convincing us, human race, that we are the problem. We are destroying everything. You know, again, it's flipping flipping everything upside down. And it's just going really nicely, unfortunately, with what you said. Because, A, if I look on each section on its own, looking at, for example, Monsanto, or the pharmaceutical industry, or the weapon industry, or the human trafficking, drug cartels, etc., etc., or even politics, you know? It's like, it seems like, for my lame eyes, it seems like they all work separately. There's no connection between them. But what you're actually coming and saying is that there's a conductor, it's an orchestra, and it's all been orchestrated from behind the scenes. And this place behind the scenes, behind the curtains, for most people is blocked, whether by choice because they prefer not to see or not to go and look behind the curtains, or because they're still not there, they still haven't reached this level, which or this understanding that everything, or not everything, but many things in our human life or system life are actually being orchestrated in order to confuse us and to flip reality, or to flip truth from lie. You know, everything is upside down. Like you also mentioned this in other other podcasts, and there's a quote by David Icke, you know, universities destroy knowledge, religion destroys spirituality, doctors destroy health, etc., etc. And it's actually, I mean, if it's an orchestrated plan, it's bloody working, and it pisses me off.
Yes. I mean it's possible to name the main Trojan horses that is actually orchestrating things, and it's not visible for a normal human unless you really decide to look there. From mythology, we know the term archons. Archons, like the most intelligent satanic entity.
It's a spider.
No, they're different ones.
Right, sorry.
They're different ones.
Go on.
The spider would relate to Yabulon, which is the god of Freemasonry.
Okay.
He is one archon.
Right.
What we do have as a second, it's basically my personal experience being able to see this realm. This may be something I should add, that from therapeutical practice, I gained the ability to really see entities. So what I could find by being able to see these realms is actually that we have three different types of archons that are essential at the moment. There might be more that I didn't discover yet, but this is the spider. It's a type, we all call them snake at the beginning, if you have the genetic sequencing of the entity, because we know how these entities are reproducing, and we have a full scope of the genetics of these entities. It's not even snake, it's worm. It's worm, fruit fly, and human DNA as a mixture. How the entity is created. It grows on slime mold, and then it detaches from slime mold as an energetic parasite that has enough human features to be able to hoover on human DNA inside the human body and feed on us. Yes. So this is scientifically, it's all obvious how it works. You can even read the basics in the big books about genetic manipulation of fungi. If you go there, you read about the use of secondary genetic clusters to create entity.
Yes.
It's all in the science. People know where to read about it. But so what we do have is spiders, snakes, and krakos, like Cthulhu, krako, octopus. Octopus demon known as Cthulhu from the most famous one is the captain in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
This is how they look like.
Yeah.
You know, with these tentacles in the face.
Yeah.
And the principle of archons, how they work, is actually that they utilize the traumatization of human chakras. If we become unconscious on an aspect of our emotional life, it's like an open wound that is seeking healing by reintegrating what got lost. It's human bioenergetics. Normally, if you're traumatized, a part of your spirit detaches because it's too painful to be there at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then your system is basically messed up and desires to heal, to reconnect what got lost. And in this impulse, these archons can link in and connect themselves to chakras. And then it's up to the human how deep he sucks this entity in, whether it's just in the energetic part outside, hoovering in the aura, or if he really allows it in into a kind of incarnated state inside of the body. And this is actually happening by identification. For example, let's take a child that is not allowed to be angry. He is splitting off his anger from his system. And then a spider can come in and pretend it's his anger that is reintegrated. And then the child realizes, okay, if I utilize the anger of that spider, I can protect myself finally. And he's seeing this as a big advantage to be able to be angry again, to protect himself, whatever, against his peer group, if he's attacked as a child. And then he makes a deal with his archon in introducing him for the purpose of being able to be angry again, because it's a property you need in daily life. You need your anger to stand strong in the world. So it's a deal you make with the Archon, inviting him into his system. And from there, he can easily manipulate your thought. And it's the spider goes on second chakra, on sixth chakra. The snakes used to go onto the first and the seventh. And the octopus on the third, the first and the seventh, octopus on the third one. This is how the Archons go into the system. And till, I don't know, 1.5 years ago, maybe all humans had at least the snake in their system. So there was a voice in the head that was, we were as a day conscious 100% identified with, that could work with magic, which means introducing perceptions that were not real, and something I would most likely call as cognitive dissonance. You see something with your eyes, but something in between goes there and takes out the perception and blocks it and puts a white page to it. When I was doing the research on Morgellons, I was addressing all sorts of state authorities, showing them the full research papers on how this disease functions. And they all, it was like stereotype, they all reacted as if I was showing them white papers with nothing on it.
Yeah.
They just stared at me, and you could see the cognitive dissonance jumping into play. And this is basically the system that is spread over entire humanity. We are identified with for a personal purpose of being traumatized and trying to heal ourselves from our traumatization, that then once they have access to our mind can apply introduction of thoughts, giving us bad ideas, pushing us into direction, and deleting things from our consciousness that would bring us into a different direction. And this is kind of the common point of entry where all these different parts of society are manipulated in a way that they come together to promote this agenda of connecting us to this secondary sphere that at the moment is just present, because the core entity is gone. The only thing that still is present is basically a technological copy of the mental field of this entity in the form of AI. So what we're now dealing with is actually only the threat of creating AI gods that are in a quality of a digital copy of the satanic mind. This is the only threat we are still facing at the moment.
Actually, I have a couple of questions running in parallel in my head. One is like, given what you say about the Archons, if I can go for a second to the CIA or other agencies who run all sorts of procedures in order to create traumas in young children. Some of them are from prestigious families and so on. Yes, it doesn't have to be someone from the street, but they do this in order to create traumas in the brain in order to make it easier to gain control on them or on future actions when they become maybe a president or another head of state or head of department or other specific job they are intended to have. Do they use this technology that you're talking about with the Archons, or it just, I mean, I'm trying to find the bridge between what you're saying and the, in brackets, not brackets, in real world or in human world, because the stuff that I just mentioned, the CIA and other agencies and trauma-based experiences and creating split personalities, etc., etc., it's being done. It's been documented. And what you are saying is like you're presenting another type of technology which is a bit off for most people. And I'm trying to ask if what you're talking about is being used by these agencies on these poor little children in order to create psychopathy for future generations and obviously broken personalities and etc. Is can you relate to this? Is there any connection here?
The difficulty is to see the border between the application of technologies by humans and the actual deal between the demonic realm and black magicians.
Right.
If you, to understand how this actually functions, you need to see the history of how the black magic realm took control of agencies. You need to go back to 1911 with the foundation of the Tavistock Institute in Great Britain.
Yes, which, Tavistock.
Which was founded 50% by the British Crown, which is a family that is into the black magic tradition, and 50% with the Rothschild family, that is with the banking system into the black magic tradition.
Yeah.
So two black magic dynasties united their force to actually with a defined purpose to ignite World War One.
Yes.
The Crown wanted to defend the British trade, and the Rothschilds wanted to make money by lending states to nations that go to war. So yeah. They had both this interest of igniting World War II. So they founded Tavistock officially as a part of the defense ministry at the first. Started to buy newspapers, invented the term propaganda, and invented social science as a tool for manipulation of humanity. And from there, Tavistock influence started to spread. And one of the branches of Tavistock was founding the American intelligence communities. Everything, NSA, Naval Intelligence, mm-hmm. CIA, is actually rooting from Tavistock foundations. And they introduced the knowledge about black magic into the intelligence community they founded. So what used to be the self-torture of a witch in 1700 to create a split that could force the neighbor to give her all of the money of the neighbor by going out there and torturing the mm-hmm. neighbor into things. This is kind of the selfish root of black magic, mm-hmm. you know, on the personal level. Mm-hmm. So this ability to create a split by self-torturing was industrialized and refined to a scientific method within the MK Ultra program that was run by these Tavistock disciples or agencies.
Yes.
And this is all accompanied, I would say, in a form of cooperation with Archons. So the Archons are the ones who give answers when the scientists who are into these black magic and technologies, when they don't know how to work, they will ask the Archon within themselves that has a strong position for inspiration, how to proceed with the technology. So they use this infiltrated part of their psychology to produce the knowledge they need. And if you look in comes to the agency, actually,
hang on Harald, you're breaking up.
I think
it says also poor network connection, so hang on a second. We need to finish soon because you said you have to go. But I want to give for the audience, because we speak about some of the stuff is like maybe interesting, but it's also, it can be a bit heavy. I want to give them like a sweet to come back for the next chapter, the next interview. You're talking about black magic. Yeah. A, is there white magic? B, can we use it? C, if so, are you optimistic? I mean, do we have, can we manage? Can we succeed? Do we have hope as a humankind, you know?
Absolutely. We do have hope. And I wouldn't say that there's white magic, because magic in itself has to do with manipulation. And manipulation is not a beautiful thing. We did not invent that. It's coming from the other side. When we do work, it's always only when contracted by a patient. He claims, I want to have help, could you please help? It's okay to basically interfere with the spirit of another human. Everything else that goes to the collective, it would be black, just because we are not asked to do anything.
To do it, yes.
But what we can offer, what does exist, is a secured healing path. Because in any case, person A can't heal person B.
Yes.
It's if somebody has fallen into unconsciousness, if he's traumatized, if he has lost parts of his spirit, he needs to put himself together again. And there's a secured path, experience secured path, how it is possible that every single human can make the decision to put himself together again, to again become a fully conscious being that is completely in compassion, able to experience empathy, to read others, to intuitively know his place in society. It doesn't put an end to creativity, but it puts an end to this mad free will that is creating egoistic behavior. Okay? Creativity is the expression of the divine within us. This is where we want to go.
Yeah.
It's more freedom in this than in all the freedom promised by the Mason. Yeah.
Yeah.
So given, this is the divine freedom.
So given...
And yes.
Given all the weapons that are being used against us, I mean, you know, again, I mentioned a few of them and you mentioned some of them. Given all these tools and weapons that are being used against us to manipulate us, to control us, to change our mind, to change our biology, all right, to rewire our brain and nerve cells, etc., etc. Given all these weapons, you're saying still we are stronger than that. We do have... We can overcome this. We have hope. We have the ability to go through it and succeed.
Yes. One thing is the knowledge about how they did it.
Yeah.
All these technologies are back engineered by the divine research, let's call it, not a good word, just by people who want to get out of this shit. They managed to find out how the trap works, put it on plain language.
Yeah, yeah.
And once you know how it works, it's no problem at all to get rid of it again. It's about changing your diet, detoxing the components of synthetic biology from your system, and then you chuck the technical components out of your body, and then they don't function there anymore. If it's about the wave salad we are drowning in, like microwave radiation from wireless LAN, smart meters, whatever, get rid of the technology, rewire yourself, get away from the blue light of the screens as much as possible, turn them red, whatever. You know, just remove yourself from the sickening environment that is prepared for us and live in a healthy environment. This is a free choice. Nobody can stop anyone from doing this. And the third thing is basically once your biochemistry is clearing from all the technical and chemical pollutants that the industry is giving us to eat, the vaccines, the poisons in the food when you don't eat organic foods, you're poisoning yourself. Mm. Once the body is cleaning from this, the ability of self-awareness automatically returns.
Yes.
You know, we stare at nature, we see the cat that smells everything, hears everything, and we think it's something special in nature. No, we have the same abilities. The only thing we did is numbing ourselves down with chemicals to the state of complete numb weirdos. And this was our decision to do so. So it's within our responsibility to reverse this process and come back to our senses. And once you're back to your senses, it's absolutely easy to feel, see, locate any entity, any Archon entity within your system, because you're back to your senses. An Archon can't live in a healthy body. It needs to be heavy metal polluted and over-acidified. If it's not heavy metal polluted and over-acidified, he will just die from pain within your body. So only this automatically chucks out all these entities from your system. So as I said, there's a secured path, experience secured path to reverse the deterioration humanity experience. And all it needs, and this is what I would like to offer actually in this line of interviews is acknowledging that we lost it. This is the most painful step because of the egos that grew on our destruction. They like to feel as a perfect superior being. But it's not. The ego is something, the day consciousness is something that grew on the fragments of a totally destructed being. Like if you want to take the picture of it, we used to be heart consciousness. Heart consciousness is a 12th star.
Right.
It's like, the consciousness, if you look at the bioenergetic symmetry of heart consciousness, it's in a 12th star symmetry. And the 12th star can integrate thought that is binary, instinct that is in a quadrilateral and rectangular relationship, emotion that is trinary, and this all is integrated in the heart consciousness. So all the other things are actually in the original nature of human, a complete subject of heart consciousness. In this state, your true self has the ability to express itself in an incarnation. Now, heart consciousness has been shut down. It's not working anymore. So we are split into isolated mental and emotional fields that are all the time kind of fighting for dominance against each other. This is what is creating our day consciousness in the state we are now.
Yeah.
And then you have all these personality things like you have an emotion that is independent from anything else, and it is creating cascades of panic thoughts in your mind. Or you think about something that is not even there, like terrorism, and you get fears in your emotional body, although you're just sitting at home. And this is all madness. It's sheer madness. And it's this day consciousness that is growing on the splits that are left over from the original human. And what is important is to recognize that this is a completely painful, sad state. To take over responsibility that we turned ourselves into these beings, into these day consciousness that are so destructed, because we lost it. We were only manipulated into this. But every single step down the road, we said yes.
Yeah.
We said yes because the main reason is because we are too cowards to feel pain.
We are too
proud to admit that we lost things.
Yeah.
So this is how the downward spiral worked, and recognizing this as our past, making a peace with it, and realizing, okay, if I know where I stand, I can take the correct measures to return to what I can be. And then it's the rest actually is just easy. The rest can be do. It is being done by more and more people that come to that point. And from there, we can develop into a world of sheer beauty. It's not that anybody would be stopping us from it. It's only ourselves. And this is why I always say this. We are living in an echo of a bad period of our history. Mm. And the echo is still quite loud and strong, echoing in the mental. But we always can make a different decision and turn back into a completely different path of development and regain our abilities and regain our original nature that is so much more
It is way beyond our, imagination. I mean, our abilities are just amazing, and most people, I admit, also myself. It's not, I don't take myself out of the rest of humanity, but I also forget, I also get lost and confused, I also fall into traps, and I also need to remind myself that I'm telepathic, I can communicate with animals, I can communicate with plants, I can smell water and know how good it is for me, like any other animal on the planet. I can do all these things. I've done them. And being here, living here in Israel for so many years, since I came back from abroad, I can see how the matrix or the system is numbing me down again, and I strive, and I, you know, I do, I don't know if everything I can, but I do quite a lot to remind myself to stay awake, to remind myself my abilities, and sometimes I do it by interviewing you, for example, and broadcasting it to the rest of the world, telling them, listen, we are great, remember, wake up, you know, wake up to our great abilities, to this magnificent life and opportunity we've been given. And actually, what you putting forward, I mean, this, I'll put it this way, this type of information, which I'm more or less familiar with, for the majority of people, it can be way too much. Still, sometimes you need even just one word or a combination of a couple of words to trigger something in your brain, whether it's a memory or a feeling or a remembrance of truth that is going with you since forever. And sometimes you need just this to wake up, just that to make you change your ways, just that to break a habit and start at least to go free from what is actually holding you back.
Maybe I can relate to the point in my life where I started my path. For all the people who maybe might start their path today listening to this interview. And it was in the time when I was basically making the decision to dive into free energy research. And there was this university knowledge of, okay, you can't multiply energy, you can't create it out of nothing, you can just, you have all these laws of physics. And I was working on a documentary film about scientists who created energy out of nothing, which was apparently impossible according to the laws of physics. And I studied physics. I was a strong believer, and so I but still I had this film to make, that for completely different reasons, and I started to visit the lab and look at the lab results, and then I could see, okay, lab results showing me the guy is producing energy out of nothing, out of thin air. And I checked the machines, I checked everything, and it was real. It was just real, and it was a completely contradiction to everything I knew. And back then I said, okay, if I accept this truth, I have to question many other things. And this is, if you go to the, then from the mental to the emotional, this is the tricky thing. It ignites fear, because when you start to question things, you swim in deep water and you don't know where the sharks are.
Yes.
And this is an emotional thing you have to solve at that point. To basically, in the state you are in that moment, you need your mental capacity to make the decision to accept to swim in deep water for a while. And then basically one question is opening the next one. You know, the next thing to happen is I started to understand how free energy can be created. I was full in the scientific terms of hydrodynamics, quantum physics, whatever. I started to Google things, and suddenly when I Googled scientific terms, all these websites popped up showing me spacecraft engine. Because, of course, spacecraft engines work on free energy as well. They are advanced in technology. And I was still in this state of, no, there are no UFO crap. You know, it's all conspiracy theories. And weirdos trying to attract attention by stating they saw spacecraft. So I wasn't into that at all. But fucking hell, you know, the scientific terminology was popping up in these claims.
Yes.
You know, the engines, if you look into them, suddenly they made sense, because if I would, you know, my knowledge about physics and free energy would create an anti-gravity device, I would build it exactly in that way. So I had, you know, this is another field was opening that normally would have been closed.
Mm.
Once you start questioning this closed envelope of matrix reality, where everything is working together, fitting together, there's no the axis of evil is, or the countries who didn't join the central banking system, you know. And from there, once you crack one lie, the next lie becomes visible.
Yes.
And it took, like, I don't know, for me personally, 3 years of swimming in deep water where I did not know how this fucking reality works.
Sure.
Until things started to reassemble again into a coherent picture. And this is the quality of the lie we are caught in. It's coherent. We have an emotional resistance to let go of that coherence, but to reassemble our view of the world in truth, we need to dive through a phase of incoherence where things are allowed to be disassembled and reassembled in a way that actually doesn't make sense. Because the reality that is pictured for us, it's in all details, it's just a huge ocean of light. And I've been into hundreds of topics during my lifetime, researching it from primary sources. And whenever you do that, research something at the primary source, you realize nothing is like it's been told.
Yes.
Yeah. Go stupid stuff like Cambodia, Pol Pot. I got to know one guy who, he was a tourist in Cambodia ages after the war, and he wanted to make tourism to see all these sites of horror, you know, of Pol Pot killing his own people. And what he researched was actually that Cambodia was a kind of naturally rich country that was sucked empty by international corporations to a point where the local population started to starve. And then Pol Pot said, stop that bullshit. And he said, okay, let's take all these parasites that sit in the capital, send them to the countryside to working camps, and make them help my population not to starve.
Mm-hmm.
And let's teach them what it means to work for your income.
Mm-hmm.
And he created those camps, took all the banksters and the corporation people that sucked the country empty, and tried to show them what real life is. And in that period, when these forced labor was trying to save the country from starvation, you had 7,000 people who died from natural causes inside the camps.
Mm.
And that's it. Look into the history papers. Pol Pot killed how many? 3 million?
Mm.
It was just made up to build an opposition in the international media to isolate Cambodia, to give basically the picture for the people that they would say, if this country now is militarily punished, it's okay.
There's so many examples, Harald. I mean, even just you don't even let me put it this way. We all know about the pyramids in Egypt. There's pyramids everywhere, but nobody seems to speak about it. Cambodia does pyramids. In China does pyramids. South America does pyramids. Hello? Every continent does pyramids. And they are built not the same measurements, but more or less the same ratio. And maybe they all serve the same purpose. I mean, we are not being told about it deliberately. You know, China, they cut the head of the pyramids and they made like agricultural land on top of it. So from air, from shooting, you know, with airplane shooting a video or stills from air, you won't see its pyramids because they want to differentiate themselves in terms of the origin of their religion, as if it's nothing to do with the pyramids of Egypt and as if there's no pyramids in China, when actually there's quite a lot of pyramids in China and they are quite huge, although the government trying to hide this fact. But there's obviously there's many stories of hidden truths, hidden history, hidden archaeology, hidden geography, hidden energy, hidden so many things of such. And it's to do also with chemistry, with physics, with biology, with all fields of science and all aspects, or almost all aspects of life. And it's also to do with magic, also to do with the, I mean, they are hiding the fact they are using magic, you know, on us, obviously.
And this, maybe this one is a good teaser for part two. And we can actually make part two on pyramid technology. Why they were built.
Yes.
What they did to the consciousness of humanity, because this is revealed in a way.
And I
would be in the.
I'll take you on that. I mean, the second one we can do about pyramids, but not only. I mean, just to tell the audience. I've written so many questions here and we didn't even start the conversation. And it's like, I wanted to speak about Illuminati, you know? I wanted to speak about transhumanism and the fact that, according to you, 95% of the plan of transhumanism is already completed. There's only maybe 5, even less percent to continue. I wanted to speak about your family. How much your children know of the stuff that you talk about and what is it they do with it and what's your relations to this, you know? And I wanted to speak about the monetary system and about the karmic law and the natural law. Again, we have many subjects to touch and to expose, and I hope the audience like this interview and will comment and share it. I wanted to thank you very much for this one. I hope the next one you will have a better internet connection. I just hope. I don't know if it will happen because I know you live in the countryside and there's a bit of technical issues, but I'm just saying, if it can be a better connection, it's even better. If you have a couple of words for finishing, because I see you have, so please go ahead.
the thing you sensed was maybe I will watch some of your interviews you have already online, and maybe my Hebrew will improve to a state. Finally, we can do one or two in Hebrew, although it's difficult because the scientific terminology is not there.
Yes, but just to tell the people here, Harald speaks
Hebrew.
Yes, yes. Harald speaks
Hebrew.
Go on.
הייתי עולה חדש בגיל 10. עזבנו את הארץ שהייתי בן 14. העברית שלי, עברית של הילד שהייתי.
No, excellent. You speak excellent. Really, just this couple of sentences, perfect. Really perfect. Not like עולה חדש. Really excellent Hebrew. Really, man. I think now everybody would like us to start again, you know?
Yeah, but I can't explain transhumanism.
Sure.
And I can't explain all the other scientific things. It must be done in English.
Sure. We'll do that. But maybe we should do even just like 5 minutes in Hebrew about your family or about heart choices, or we can find something for the Israeli crowd to just specific stuff, you know, that it's easier for you obviously to talk about in Hebrew.
That was just for the emotional part, because somehow this is a home run for me.
sure, understandable. Listen, it's been great having you on. Thank you for that. I'll talk to you soon, and we should fix the next one.
Yeah, we will.
Take care, mate. Keep on your good work, and we'll catch up very soon. Thank you very much. Toda rabba.
Have a great week, Dan.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye, mate.